We'll go to Psalm 1. Y'all probably know Psalm 1, I'm sure, but Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, God. It's so sharp, it says it can divide our intentions of our heart. It can separate things that need to be separated, Lord. We thank you for your conviction. We thank you for your peace. We thank you, Lord, you can change our life and you can turn us around, Lord. Just evidence of the praises that have went up today, Lord, how you change lives. So we praise you for that. And we thank you you're not finished with us. And I thank you no matter how many times we've heard these verses that you'll give us a new revelation, a new light, and take us deeper into the things of God. We just bless you and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. I'm going to read you 2 Corinthians, New Living Translation. I just want to read you a short passage. As surely as God is faithful, our word to you does not waver between yes and no. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. He is the one whom Silas, Timothy, and I preach to you, and as God's ultimate yes, he always does what he says. Did y'all get that? God's ultimate yes, he always does what he says. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes, and through Christ our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. So probably next week we're going to start, I don't say series because he might decide after the first week he doesn't want to do anymore. But I'll just say, Lord willing, we'll be talking about prayer because I think prayer now is, it's always been the most important thing. But I think focused prayer and knowing what you're praying and knowing that it's God's will, I think that's the one thing the church needs more than anything else, to know what God's word says and to believe what God's word says and to pray what God's word says. And when we do that, things happen. And the whole thing comes down to when his disciples said to Jesus, would you teach us to pray? And he says, yes. And he said, okay, I want you to pray the Lord's Prayer every time you pray. That's not what he said. He said, in this manner, pray. So we're going to be talking, break the Lord's Prayer down. And you can easily sigh. This sounds weird and far out, but you can easily spend an hour in prayer and enjoy it if you'll pray according to the Lord's Prayer. And I'm not talking about a dry, dull formula where you look at your watch every 3 minutes and go, oh my gosh, I've still got 40 minutes. No, it's not like that. Really, if you'll pray in that manner, you'll pray God's will, you'll see God's hand move, and you'll enjoy that time and you'll look forward to it. And an hour will be the minimum. You'll start getting to where you want to go deeper than that. And many years ago, I won't go into a lot, but I saw Larry Lee at Evangel, and he taught on that. And I think Donna and I did that for a short time. And sometimes things get in the way, and you get other things. But I found I was getting ready to throw a bunch of stuff away in my garage, and I was going through there, and I found only two of the five tapes, but that was enough to pique my interest again. And you can, of course, now you can get on the internet and you can. And I know Larry Lee's a man of God, and he was one of those that was picked out by 60 Minutes or something, daring expose. Well, he was the only one out of the bunch that came out clean, but still, when you soil somebody like that, it puts doubt in people's minds. So, but he's a man of God, and whether he is or not, these teachings are sound and foundational. And Lord, I know, Hannah, you probably got lots of free time to pray and stuff, so you can pray Laramie, and you can pray revival into Laramie, Wyoming, man. Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, praise the Lord. We need revival here in Greenville. Y'all need revival in Louisville, Oldham County, or are they pretty much all good folks and everything's going well out there? In North Carolina, they couldn't need revival because they got a street named Billy Graham Parkway, so I know they're okay. And we all need revival, don't we? We all need the power of God to move. Anyway, Psalm 1, okay? And I want you to look at this as promises to you. You know, all of God's promises are what? Yes and amen. But all of God's promises, if you look through the Word, all of God's promises are dependent on you. If you will, I will. If you will, I will. And I'm not talking about salvation, but even salvation. If you will repent, if you will ask Jesus, if you believe that Jesus is Lord and risen from the dead. See, there's even a, you could say salvation's free and it just falls on you from heaven. No, you have to believe, you have to ask, you have to confess. That's what the Word of God says. You do have to do something. You have to activate your faith and reach out and grab it. So the same with all of God's promises. And sometimes God's promises seem like they take many, many years to be fulfilled. I know I'm still waiting on some, but you know I can hear God saying, I'm still waiting on you to do something and get somewhere so I can fulfill those things in you because you're not ready for them. And so anyway, we'll just make this really, because this is so simple, but it's so powerful. And I'm gonna read the the Amplified, just one word I'm gonna amplify here out of the Amplified Bible, but blessed. Blessed means happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable. You gotta look at it like that. If you just go blessed, you know, you don't really got a lot out of that, but it's happy, fortunate, prosperous, and people are envious of you when they see God's blessing. Not to make people envious, but it's just what God does. Because the Bible said that He would use us Gentiles grafted into the vine. It would make the Jewish people jealous and lead them to salvation. So that's a good jealousy, being jealous of the things of God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. Does that sound like a good deal? The ungodly are not so. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the ways of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. So he says, not only will you be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. When hard times come, when dry times come, if you're planted in the Lord, you're not going to wither away. You're going to prosper even in the dry times. So I'll tell you what, let's just activate. Let's stand up. If you're a believer, you can pray this, okay? You want more of Jesus, don't you? You want this promise of Psalm 1 in your life, don't you? Amen, it'd be good. Yes, yes, I want God's blessings in my life. Well, just say, I am blessed. I'm happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable because I don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Forgive me, Lord, when I walk in the ways of the world. Forgive me, Lord, when I go after the things of the world. Lord, I don't want to stand in the path of sinners. Yes, Jesus, I want to lead them to you. I want to draw them to you. I want to pray them into the kingdom. But Lord, I don't go after their ways. Your ways are not their ways. No longer are my ways the ways of the world, Jesus. Lord, I don't want to sit. I'm not going to sit in the seat of the scornful. I'm not going to be someone that talks about people and scorns people and speaks curses on people. I'm going to be a person that speaks blessings on people. And my delight is in the law of the Lord. My delight is in reading the Word of God. My delight is living the Word of God. And I am like a tree. And I'm planted by the rivers of living water. And when the droughts come, and when the hard times come, Lord, there'll be fruit. There'll be fruit in my life when all around me is a desert. And the lost, and the hurting, and the needy can come. And I can bless them. And you know, that is why, and we got it so wrong. And you know, the prosperity, we get on the prosperity preaching, you know, but the prosperity is one of the promises of the Lord. But He does not prosper you so you can get fat and sassy, and He prospers you to bless the kingdom of God. He prospers you to bless people that are less fortunate. That's why He does that. Really. I mean, really. If He can trust you with wealth, which is the least, right? That's the very least of things. But, you know, He can do mighty things through wealth. There's nothing wrong with wealth. But like going over and blessing our friends in Haiti, if you ever get a chance to go over there, go. I know you could use... You know, they could use $1,000 for the trip and they could buy a whole lot of things and do a whole lot of things, but you need to go someplace and get the vision. It ain't like this everywhere. We are so blessed. And you could feel the Holy Spirit coming off our sister, couldn't you? Couldn't you feel that? The words are different. We didn't understand the words, but you could feel the presence of God. We need to pray something else, okay? Y'all agree with me? Y'all don't have to say it, but Lord Jesus, I just pray that wherever my wedding ring went, I think I've lost some weight. That's a good thing, but I don't want to lose my wedding ring. So God, I pray You'd send Your angels out to bring it back in Jesus' name. Y'all can sit down. We got a couple more things to pray. Is that okay? We're not going to pray to be like the ungodly, are we? Psalm 23. Who was it? It was Kelly. My daughter-in-law, daughter. I look at her like a daughter. I love her. God's brought her into our life, and she hadn't quite surrendered to the Lord yet, but you know what? I love her. And last week, somebody busted her car window out and took her purse out of her car, and it just happened to be one of them coach. I mean, like, I'd rather have that much money in my wallet but, you know. I mean, I'm talking something that she loved and she has had for several years, and, you know, so I remember Donna and I, we sat down and we prayed the other night that God would get His angels and bring this purse back. I didn't pray that over Kelly because I know she'd go, wow. She's just not ready for that. Well, this last week, you know what? A neighbor brought her purse. Said they just happened to be walking in the woods this time of year and just happened to find this purse. And I'm like, God, you know, I pray all it. I don't know if y'all ever lose stuff. Where's Sarah? Where's she at? We lost Sarah? Well, she loses stuff occasionally. I know some other girls around here, and I'm not picking on girls, but have lost their keys in here, and we've stayed around for a while hunting for keys. So we've had a lot of experience praying for lost things. And you know, anymore, I've had God do some amazing things. I just pray, God, you know where it's at. Send one of your angels out to pick it up, retrieve it, and bring it back. And you know what? He does. I don't have faith to believe for that. Well, that's your problem. You go look for it and pace back. Did I offend you, Sarah? Okay. I don't think Sarah gets offended. Psalm 20, does she marry? No. Psalm 23, this Psalm 23 was written for one thing and one thing only. Funerals. That's the only reason Psalm 23 was written. No, but I mean really, that's when I was growing up, that's the only time I heard Psalm 23 at a funeral. And everybody reads it. Whether they total heathen or they on fire for God, it's a good, praise God, it's awesome. It's a comforting, isn't it? Doesn't the Holy Spirit just reach out and kind of comfort you with Psalm 23? It's good. See, these glasses are done sprung out, and I need more. Well, yeah, and I've been asking for that for years, but I told him the other day, you know what, God? If we don't get these things straightened out soon, I'm going to go get them laser. I'm going to get my 2015 vision back with lasers. I'm tired of this. I spend $3,000 a year on throwaway glasses. Why did I say that? Pray for me. I want to be healed. The Lord is my what? Shepherd. What's a shepherd? I know. Away in a manger, right? They just stand there and look at Jesus, right? What does a shepherd do? He protects sheep. He watches over sheep. And sheep are known for one thing really big. They are stupid. They are very stupid. No, really. They'll wander, they'll put their head down to the ground and they'll eat grass and they'll wander off and they won't even know, you know, they'll be lost and they won't even know why or when. Kind of like people. They'll put their head down and they'll follow after stuff and before you know it, they're totally lost. There's not a lot of difference. That's why Jesus is called the great shepherd. I'm not telling y'all nothing you don't know, but we need to confess who we are. Is that true? So if the Lord is our shepherd, see the thing about this when you read it at a funeral, if the Lord is not your shepherd, all those promises after that statement don't apply. They don't apply to anybody but the sheep of God. Would you agree with that? Isn't that the qualifying? So let's just say that. Lord, you are my shepherd, and I will not want. You will, because you love me, make me lie down in green pastures. You will lead me. And I'm asking you, Jesus, to lead me. Besides still waters, I'm asking you, Jesus, to restore my soul because it gets wounded and it gets beat up. And you know what your soul is? Your mind, your will, and your emotion. Man, I'm telling you, when I was growing up, there was a saying that used to go around when somebody teased you or curse you or it's a sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's the biggest lie. Words will crush you. Words will curse you. You got to put them under your feet. You've got to claim the blessings of God that will overcome the curses of man and the curses of the enemy, right? So you've got to use the word, and I don't mean use the word of God in a or a way of trying to bribe him, or you owe me this, God, you owe me. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if all his promises are yes and amen to those who love him, we need to stand on that. He restores my soul. Let's say that. You restore my soul, Lord. My soul has some hurts in it, Jesus. And I thank you for your blood. I thank you for forgiving me. I thank you for healing my soul. Lord Jesus, come on, activate. Lord Jesus, lead me in the path of righteousness for your name's sake. Even when I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. No evil. God has not given me. Come on, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I will fear no evil, Jesus, because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. You know what that means? You know what the oil is a symbol of? The Holy Spirit, the anointing of God, the anointing of God, the anointing that gets things done. Yes, it breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing destroys the yoke of bondage. The anointing heals people. Praise the Lord. Jesus the Christ, the anointed one, he was a healer. He was a deliverer. It was the anointing that did that. And when Jesus came to live in you and the Holy Spirit came and filled you, you now have that anointing. Praise the Lord, right? Whether you want it or not. If you don't want it, you're... Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all. Let's say that. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 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 Psalm 91. I like Psalm 91, don't you? Shoo, I like Psalm 91. If I ever read a psalm, usually if I read a psalm over somebody in a hospital, I'll read Psalm 91 over them because, boy, that thing is so full of promises. I'm just going to, is it okay? Do y'all mind praying? Let's stand up. Let's pray this. Let's pray this scripture. Y'all ever pray scripture? You ever just pray scripture over yourself? Do you ever do that? Like if I was praying this, I would go, Mark, who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You need to make it personal, you know? Say, I, who dwell in the secret place of the Most High, will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge. You are my fortress. In you, Lord God, I will trust. Surely you will deliver me, my family, my home, my church from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. You will cover me with your feathers, and under your wings I will take refuge. You are my truth. You are my shield. You are my buckler, and I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid of the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies in the day, nor of pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 may fall at my right hand, but it will not come near me or my family or my home. Only with my eyes will I look and see the reward of the wicked. Because I have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, my dwelling place, no evil will befall me. No plague will come near my dwelling. You will give your angels, Lord, charge over me. In your hands, Father, you will bear me up unless I dash my foot against a stone. I will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. I will trample underfoot, because Jesus has set his love upon me. He will deliver me. Praise the Lord. He will deliver me in the name of Jesus. 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 We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. With long life, you will satisfy me, Lord, and you will show me your salvation. You can sit down. Jesus was going about doing signs, wonders, miracles. Everywhere he went, people were healed. Everywhere he went, the word of God went forth. I can't think of any exceptions. Like they said, in his own hometown, there wasn't many miracles done, but that was probably because they didn't ask. They thought he's just Jesus, the carpenter's son. Who's he? You know, so they weren't really asking and making a demand on his anointing. I'm going to read Mark 16 here in a second, but I want to qualify it with this. It's Mark 3. Verse 20, I'm trying to cut a bunch out here. The multitude came together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. But when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. Now his own people is talking about his family. And believe me, when you come to Jesus, you radically come to Jesus, you'll find out that a lot of your family liked you better before Jesus. Seriously. Because if you're like me, you wrote them all letters, long letters with lots of scripture. It was overkill. But it was like you loved them, and that's the reason you did it. And the next time you saw them at a family Christmas or something, they were like, isn't Mark the one that always brought the bottle of wine and stuff? And nobody else did, but they enjoyed it, you know? That's the way it was. So, praise the Lord. Your dad and mom was thrilled that I came into the kingdom, and my mom and dad were, but aunts and uncles and cousins, not so much always. So, but several of them's come to Jesus, so praise the Lord. Multitude came together so that they couldn't, and I'll go to verse 22. The scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons. Beelzebub, another word for Satan. So he called them to himself and said to them, in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. If Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. Surely I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men and whatever blasphemes they may utter. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation because they said he has an unclean spirit. And I'm going to go to Mark 16. The whole point of all this was they were given Jesus a hard way to go because of what? I mean, he was doing the works of God. He was doing everything that was prophesied about him in the Old Testament, wasn't he? Wasn't he? Probably more. And they said, he's got a demon. He casts out demons by the prince of demons. So religion rose up. And religion tried to push down what God was accomplishing on the earth or attribute it to something else, right? Chance. So things really haven't changed that much. The enemy still, his whole plan is to divide and conquer. And he's done a real good job of it. You agree? Because we got churches up and down the road out here that will not, until a short time ago, would not even acknowledge them as Christians, or they're less than brothers and sisters in the Lord. It is, but it's coming down because you know what? You go to a persecuted nation, you go to a place where the war is on and the battle's on, guess what? They lock arms. They got a Methodist on this hand, they got a Baptist on this hand, they got a Presbyterian over here, they got a Pentecostal over here. They start, and you start cleaving after miracles. You ask for miracles when you have no other way out. I mean, it shouldn't be like that, but you ask God when there's no other hope. And that's a good thing when you get brought to the point of no other hope except Jesus, you know? And I am seeing this happen up and down the road. It's just incredible. There's churches everywhere that are starting to meet together at prayer meetings. There's one in Georgetown. It happens every month up and down this Highway 150 corridor. God is doing some stuff. And people are sick of hearing why God's not moving. He's the same. Isn't he? Has he changed? He's the same what? Y'all can quote it forward, backward. What? He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He doesn't change. We change. God doesn't change. So praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're coming to a new light. Praise the Lord. This is going to be an awesome year coming up. I feel like we're going to see incredible things happen next year. And it's not going to be because of Faith Harvest. It's going to be because of the Methodist Church, praise God. The Baptist Church across the hill. All the churches that we pray with up and down the corridor, we are going to see God do it. He might do it in one house. He might do it in all the houses at the same time. I really am past the point of caring where he does it anymore, long as he pours it out without measure. We was out prison yesterday. That's one of my favorite places to go because people are desperate there. People want to hear hope. People want to read the Word of God and believe it. People want to see God in action because they got nothing else. Does that make sense? Really? Did you ever notice? I don't know. I know you're very prophetic. But did you ever notice when you're around unbelievers or a place like a prison or a place like a workplace or It's like, would you ask God to show you something, to give you a word, to show himself strong to someone? He does it. You know, so often people just, and I forgive me, but so often we're like little kids. It's like we want a toy to play with, you know, and these people are seriously in need of ministry and miracles. And they need something to lift up their faith. And I don't operate in the prophetic as much as a lot of people do. Boy, I love it. I mean, it to me, that's the greatest evangelism tool there is. Really, it is. I'm sure you've used it that way. And a lot of y'all, very prophetic, and that sounds like a label, or it's not. He said you can all prophesy, is what the Word of God says. Yesterday, he's praying, I said, Lord, you know, these ladies, man, here it is a week after Christmas, and, you know, they're in there to get pumped up. They're in there to get something from God, and two of them were in there to be with their girlfriends. But other than that, the other 12 or 14, and they got their heads spun around too, so praise the Lord. But the Lord said, somebody in here either is dealing with pancreatitis, what it was. I thought it was cancer, but I wasn't going to go ahead and say that. So I said, pancreatic something. And this girl, man, you thought she got shot. She jumped and said, oh my gosh, my best friend in here. She's been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and we all been praying for her to be healed. And so then they've got, not only do they know that God's a healer, they knew that or they wouldn't ask God to heal. But now they know that God he's come into the situation and went, yes, I know that. We know that. I'm going to share that with somebody that doesn't know that. And we're going to, and boy, you talk about faith rising up. These girls were going after God. And I believe in Jesus' name this young lady is healed. And I believe the next time Donna goes out there next month, they're going to have a report. How do I know that? By faith. I saw, you know, it hadn't been but 3 or 4 months ago we were out there and God gave a word that hepatitis C was being healed. And, of course, a lot of folks out there has got hepatitis C. This girl went to the infirmary and they checked her out and they said, you don't have hepatitis C. And they said, you never did because it's incurable. She said, oh, look at my records. They couldn't deny what God had done. So what I'm saying is we're coming to a time in history where there's things coming on our planet and there's things coming on the United States that we no longer can control. You know, it's good to have another way out, but it's going to come to the point where if we don't pray, if we don't know how to pray, if we don't believe God is good, we're going to be in trouble. How many of y'all know God is good? And I don't mean that cliche all the time. That's fine, but God is good. There is no darkness in Him at all. Anything that happens to you, God is able to fix, or He's got you parked there for a little bit for a reason. But God is good. And He always has your best interest. Always. There's never a time where God's going, I'm going to squish you and punish you, child. Yeah, He's going to discipline you. He didn't discipline you. My mom and dad hadn't disciplined me, I wouldn't be here. I still took a big straight path, but at least I knew where home was. And guess what? There's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. Let's stand up. I had more to read, but that's okay. Is Karen okay? She had a headache. We need to pray her heal. All right, let's say this. This is a saying kind of day. I work for the great commissioner. And he gave me a great commission. A great commission. A good commission. An awesome responsibility. Because he knew I could do it. I could do all things for Jesus. With Jesus, I can do anything. Praise the Lord. So, Lord, I accept that great commission that you have placed on me. I can't carry it. I don't even know what to do with it. Without your Holy Spirit, I'll blow it every time. But by faith, I'm going to stand against fear, and I'm going to go into all the world. I'm going to go into my workplace. I'm going to go into my school. I'm going to go into my neighborhood. I'm going to preach the good news. Forgive me, Jesus, when I'm afraid it's going to be bad news. It's good news. It's good news. The gospel. Praise the Lord. I will go into all the world. I will preach the gospel in Jesus' name. And Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, y'all believe he's hearing you? Holy Spirit, I believe. I believe Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, rose from the dead. Not only do I believe it, I confess it with my mouth. Therefore, I'm saved. I believe. I'm a believer. And you said, I didn't say, the preacher didn't say, you said, those who believe, and I'm one of them. This is in the Word of God, guys. This is in the Word of God. Those who believe, I'm one of them, will cast out demons, will speak in new tongues. If I'm bitten by a deadly snake, it ain't going to hurt me. Don't matter what the book says, it ain't going to hurt me. If I'm given deadly poison, it's not going to hurt me. And I will, if you're right-handed or left-handed, just hold up the one you use. I will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now that's either true, Jesus, or you were lying. And we know he can't lie. So you can say, oh, that's a heavy responsibility. No, it's really not. It's really not. Because it's all about Jesus. My hand wouldn't heal a sick mosquito. My hand wouldn't make your headache feel better. My hand would do nothing. But if Jesus is in this hand, if the Holy Spirit's in this hand, then all heaven can come down. And the thing about it is there's no guilt. There's no guilt. There's no fear. Say, there's no fear in this hand. I just do what he says. Results are up to Jesus, not me. Because if they were, you'd be wasting your time, wouldn't you? Might as well just slap them or something. So, just remember that. You know, it really pulls you out of your comfort zone until you realize it's all about him. It takes all the pressure off. And you might be shy and meek and mild, and you may get it across in a way that nobody else can. But if you will just, by faith, next time you're in a restaurant, hey, can I pray for you? And you're thinking, what am I going to pray? I don't know what to pray. He says, if you open your mouth to speak the name of Jesus, he'll fill your mouth. So see, it's all up to him. If he don't fill your mouth, evidently he didn't have nothing to say to him. So, praise the Lord. Just hold your hands out like this. I just want to pray God's blessing on you. Lord, bless them going out and bless them coming in. Bless them, Jesus, with an abundance, God, with a fresh anointing. Just feel that oil of God falling on you. Jesus, just pour out your oil from heaven. Lord, I thank you for the wind of revival to blow across us. Revive our hearts, Lord. Before we can see this nation revived, we've got to be revived. So, Lord, we cry out for revival. Bless them, God. Prosper them, Jesus. Give them a pleasant personality. God, give them a spirit that people will be drawn to, and that's the Holy Spirit. Just magnify yourself through us. And Lord, just give us divine opportunities, open doors everywhere we go, God. Just open doors. Give us, just point up, just draw a circle. Put an open heaven over me. Everywhere I go, let there be an open heaven. All heavens of brass will be broken in Jesus' name. And Lord, prosper this nation, prosper this corridor. Let Jesus be glorified. Let Jesus be exalted.